It's Matthew 5, 13 to 16. It's one about the saltiness of salt. Salt was very important back then. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Well, as we get into our sermon, I'm going to pray for us. God, we thank you that you are a God who speaks to us, that you are a God who is moving. God, today would you be speaking to us? Would you be drawing us deeper into who you are and who you have called us to be here at Christ Church Newport? God, help us to understand what it means to be your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we launch our vision for the next 3 years. On December 4th in 2026, we will have been in this lovely brick building for 100 years. And so our vision is looking forward to when we will have been here for 100 years in this building. We have been on the site. The church existed before this building. It will exist for many years to come until Jesus comes, we pray. But what we're doing is, in this vision, is looking forward to what does it look like for us to be God's people. And the main heart of our vision is to be an epicenter of hope. And the mission that comes from that is to share the life that we have in God with all around us. And underpinning this is four key values that help us to live this out. These four values are dependent on God, built on the Word, together as a family, and reaching out to all around us. Now, over the coming 4 weeks, we're going to look at each of those values individually, and so we're going to dig deeper into what they actually mean for us. But to hear our vision and values and mission document in full, I'm going to ask Vula to come and read it for us, and then I'm going to speak on it. So thanks, Vula.
Okay, so vision, our vision, an epicenter of hope. What does it mean to be an epicenter of hope? We are a people of every generation who are impacted by God and are transformed by His love and grace. God moving in us reverberates out into our world as we authentically practice the hope that we have in Jesus. Our values. First value, dependent on God. We are dependent on God and trust Him to be active in and through us, for He is the one who sustains and guides us. The Holy Spirit at work in us leads us to grow and help others to grow as followers of Jesus. We worship God because we love Him and we want to know Him more deeply in our lives. Prayer is the base for seeking God and seeing Him move. Our second value, built on the Word. Our hope is in Jesus, our Saviour, who is alive and at work today. He saves us and speaks life in the midst of brokenness because of His life, death, and resurrection. We look to the Bible as God's permanent revealing of Himself in written word. The Bible teaches us who God is and what it means to be God's people. Our third value, together as a family. We walk together in love and we welcome all people into our community and relationship with God. As a family, we journey together. Recognizing God's love is for people of all ages, stages, and walks of life. Life is messy and imperfect. We want to share life honestly and authentically, from the youngest to the oldest. Our fourth value, reaching out to all around us. Out of our relationship with Jesus, we are present and active in our local communities, seeking to be agents of hope, joy, and life. We share God's love and speak His truth in love with all around us. Mission, our mission. Sharing the life we have in God to all around us. As an epicenter of hope, we shine God's love to every person who we engage with. We grow in intimacy with God and live in a way that reflects His ongoing transformation in us. We build one another up in relationship with Him. We reach out to and journey with others to bring them hope, encouragement, healing, and restoration in the goodness of God. Let it be. To help us achieve our vision, values, and mission, our major focuses will be that by the end of 2026, to have the following goals. First one, 1 hour of devoted prayer on 5 out of 7 days each week, led by people of all generations. Second one, to hold a yearly season of prayer and fasting. Next, develop and implement a discipleship pathway for families. To have 2 Bible studies and our ongoing small groups meeting regularly for deeper study in the Bible. And fifthly, develop and implement 2 sustainable initiatives which serve our wider community. Let it be, Lord.
So I hope you're encouraged by our vision, our values, and our mission. I hope you're challenged by it as we think about what it is God is calling us to be. I'll speak more a bit about some of the work that has gone into this vision at our annual meeting following our service. But we can see the way that God is at work. God is calling us, and we want to be fulfilling that mission. I don't know if you know, but in Australia, we average 100 earthquakes a year that reach 3 on the Richter scale. Experts, researchers, and scientists actually say that the number of earthquakes that are fully in the southeastern states of Australia, that is Victoria, South Australia, New South Wales, Tasmania, including those under 3 on the Richter scale, is about 30 to 40 each week. And so many of these earthquakes are minor tremors. Even the ones that register 3 aren't actually experienced by many people. It's only once every couple of weeks that some of these tremors are actually felt by anyone. And even then, that needs to be under ideal circumstances. In the past week in Victoria, I don't know if you know, but we had 2 earthquakes. One registered 2.9 on the Richter scale and one registered 2.8. Despite these numbers, many of us will never really feel that many earthquakes. Based on the numbers that scientists have put together, I estimate that I have lived through approximately 3,400 earthquakes. I'll let you do the maths on that. But I can tell you about only 2 of them. 2 have I actually experienced. In our vision, we heard about being an epicenter of hope. And my prayer for this, and I believe God's heart for us, is that we would not be like those 3,398 earthquakes that I've lived through that I couldn't tell you about. But actually that we would be one of the earthquakes, the epicenters that is actually felt and reverberated around our community. one that brings life to our community. One that says that it's not just about what God is doing in us, but that it reaches out beyond us as well. That when someone who hears about Christchurch Newport, they go, oh yeah, that's that church where God is clearly on the move. I know people there and you can't help but be blessed by them. That is our heart for who we want to be as the people of God here at Christchurch. That we would be an encouragement to our community and a blessing. That they would experience the realities of what God is doing in this place. That we would actually be an epicenter that reaches out. Here's the thing though. To be an epicenter of hope that is life-giving, that means that we ourselves need to be transformed by God. That we can't give what we don't have. If God isn't at work in us, then we're not going to be able to give that to others. That if God isn't shaping us to be his people, we won't see us being used for God's glory in that way. If we talk about epicenters, I don't actually know if you know this. It took me a while to work it out, and it was only as I was researching epicenters as well. The epicenter isn't actually where the earthquake happens. It's the point on the top of the earth that represents what is going on, where the focus of the earthquake is, where it's actually happening. So the epicenter is the direct point above this focus point, and then from there we see it reaching out. And similarly for us, if we want to be an epicenter, then what God is doing deep in us will reverberate out, but it needs to be deep in us, that we need to be transformed, that we need to have an encounter with God that changes us and leads us into bringing about his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we could go through the whole Bible and look at a number of different people who had an encounter with God and it transformed them, that it meant that they walked with him and they continued to have these life-giving experiences. In the Old Testament alone, we could look at people like Abraham, Jacob, Samuel, Moses, David, just to name a few. In the New Testament, we could look at examples like Peter, Paul, and Mary, and others as well. But one of the lives that I've been thinking about over this year is Nicodemus. Nicodemus, if you know the story of him, comes to Jesus in the middle of the night. And he comes to visit him and listen to him. See, the thing about Nicodemus is that he is one of the religious leaders of the time. He is a Pharisee. Pharisees don't like Jesus. They fear that he is coming to take away their power and their hold on the religion of the Jewish people. They're also worried that Jesus is actually leading people astray from God. And so they're going, no, we can't follow him. But Nicodemus says, oh, I've heard about this Jesus guy. I want to come and I want to hear from him. So he comes in the middle of the night. And he gets probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible given to him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. That's Nicodemus. So he comes in the middle of the night. He has this encounter with Jesus. If you follow the story of Nicodemus through the Gospel of John, we see him mentioned a couple of times. A few chapters later in chapter 7, Nicodemus defends Jesus in a controversial understanding of the law when the rest of the Pharisees are trying to get Jesus killed then and there. But fast forward to the end of John's Gospel in John 19. And what we hear about Nicodemus is that the man who went in the middle of the night to see Jesus is there carrying Jesus' body to the tomb with another guy, Joseph. And what does Nicodemus bring as he's carrying Jesus to be buried? He brings perfumes and aloes. And not just a small amount of them, he brings 70 pounds. That's about 33 kilos of these things. Do you want to know what those 33 kilos represent? They represent value, but they represent a royal burial. This was the amount that was used for a king. And Nicodemus in that moment is saying, yes, Jesus, you are my Lord, and I will publicly declare it. Because he's gone from the middle of the night now to taking and carrying Jesus' body in public. And it's written about in the Bible for us. Now, I'd love to have more in the Bible about Nicodemus in the book of Acts and in the epistles, but we don't. But what we see is a man who has gone from coming in the dark of night, hoping not to be seen, to a man who is publicly proclaiming God's goodness at work in him. As I've reflected on the story of Nicodemus, maybe one of the reasons that I love it so much is that it actually kind of reflects my own life as well. That growing up, I was a Christian, I believed in God, but I didn't want to tell others about it. I didn't want them to know that I was a Christian. So at school, I wouldn't talk about it. I still felt like I should go to the Christian group, kind of organized by me, so I thought I should be there, but I didn't want to tell my friends about it. And so I'd kind of go, I'd slink off at lunchtime, go to the Christian group and be there. Yes, I loved God and knew him and wanted to follow him, but it was kind of a secret thing. To fast forward now where, as a minister, I publicly proclaim Jesus in every part of my life. There's no getting around it. Every conversation that I have where someone asks me what I do, I'm proclaiming Jesus because I'm saying, hey, I'm a minister. That I've gone from the secrecy of the middle of the night to the public proclaiming. Because I've had these life-giving encounters with God. And my prayer is the same for us. That for all of us, we would be Nicodemus at the end of John's gospel. Publicly proclaiming who Jesus is. Why? Because that we've each had a transformation and an ongoing transformation and transforming encounter with God, that we are seeing his power at work in us. Last week at Seeking God Together, we also were talking about Psalm 46. One of the key words that came up in our prayer time together was verse 10 of Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." That to have a life-giving encounter with God is to rest in his presence and know that he is Lord. Psalm 46 is written in the midst of turmoil. It is written in the midst of struggle for the psalmist. And yet the psalmist says in the middle of it, this command by God, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am the one who is in control. That I am the one who is at work. That's what it is to have a life-changing encounter. So often we think it's about Jesus plus us doing stuff. Jesus plus my work gives me my identity. Jesus plus my achievements in my study gives me my identity. Jesus plus my family gives me my identity. But no, it is Jesus. It is resting in him. It is having that knowledge and life in him, being still in him. That just as Nicodemus came to sit with Jesus, so it is for us to have that encounter with Jesus. And so two prayers for us as we think about what it is to be an epicenter of hope. Two prayers for us as we want to seek this transformation in our lives, these life-changing experiences with God. And these prayers are this. They'll be on the screen for us. The first prayer is this, that we would see God move powerfully in our church and that we as a church would hunger for him and for him to be moving. And the second prayer, that we would see God move powerfully in our own individual lives and that we each would hunger more and more for this and him. That if we pray for these things, we will seek God. we will see and hunger for him to be at work. We will see that transformation deep within us that creates the deep rumbling that reverberates out into our communities. That as we do this, we will see God move. Not that everything is suddenly going to be perfect in our lives. No, probably the opposite. As we pray these prayers, Satan's going to come hard at us. Why? Because he doesn't actually want us to have God's power at work in us. He doesn't want us to see God moving in us because he knows that at that point he's lost. He's already lost, but he's going, I can hold on for a little bit. But as we seek God, as we hunger for him, as we seek him to move powerfully, we are inviting the God of the universe, the God who has already won the battle, to change us, to transform us, to help us to know his love and grace at work in us. So I encourage you, take these prayers with you. Pray them for us as a church and pray them for you individually. But the power at work in us isn't just about us. See, the very idea of an epicenter is it actually represents something moving out as well. That our vision is to be an epicenter of hope, and that starts with us. But our mission moves beyond that. It shares the life that we have in God to the world around us. It sees God move out from this place and our lives into our community. Not that God can't do it without us, but that he wants to partner with us in this. That he calls us to share the life we have in him with all around us. You know, in our reading from Matthew's Gospel, we actually heard about this. Jesus calls us the salt of the earth. He calls us the light of the world. And he says that we are to let our light shine before others that they may see our good deeds. And what? Glorify God, our Father in heaven. That we are not called to hide what God is doing within us. That's not to be the secret deep within us. But that we are called to publicly proclaim him, as Nicodemus did, and share his goodness with all that we encounter. So I'm going to pray for us in this. God, we pray. We pray that we would see you move powerfully in our church, that we as a church would be hungering more and more for you and for your power to move in us. And God, I pray for each of us individually that we would see you move powerfully in our lives and that we would hunger more and more for you moving in us. That we would hunger deeply for knowing you more and more, seeing you at work in us and giving you all the glory that we might show your goodness to the world around us. That we might be an epicenter of hope, sharing this good life we have in you with all. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, what you might have noticed on the slides is that as part of our vision launch, we're actually launching a new logo as well. So I'm going to invite Aini to come and share a bit about some of the representations that are going on in this logo.
Good morning, friends. Please bear with me as I turn with my whole body, not my head, because I've had vertigo for the past 3 days. So just bear with me. All right. If we could go to the next slide, please. Just going to give you a moment to look at it. So when Steve and the parish council started the journey of creating, listening to, seeking God's vision for the next few years, it became apparent that we needed to visually also represent where God was calling us as a church. And so this is where we've landed. Go to the next slide, please. Well, that blue's maybe a bit too light for the contrast anyways. You can see a teardrop and a flame. Teardrop representing life, baptism, renewal, and a flame representing the Holy Spirit. If you look into the center of the logo, all the way down to the bottom in the dip and back up again, we've got both of those shapes echoed. So I think we can see the epicenter of hope, particularly as the main driving thought around the vision. For hope, we need life and we need renewal, but we also need the Spirit behind us. Next slide. The cross at the center of it all. The cross is literally aligned, and I can be allowed to get technical with the graphic design now. If you look at it, the cross is overhanging the entire logo because we want Christ above all, at the center of all, the head of the mission. Next slide. We have three lines down the very bottom. We've got three representing the Trinity, but we've also got them reaching up to the cross and out away from the logo. That's what we want to be doing. We want to be reaching to Jesus, but also to the people around us, to Hobson's Bay, to our families, our friends, our colleagues, anybody that we encounter. We want to be going from particularly the center of the cross. The cross is at the center again. That's what compels us to move, and that's what motivates us to reach outwards. Next slide, thank you. I think I've just said both of those things. Yep. I think that's all of it. That's all there. I haven't brought my notes again just because I'm a little bit out of it this morning. But here it is. There will be new colours filtering through in the slides. There will be new colours filtering in through the slides. When we spoke about it all with Parish Council, we're all very aware of accessibility needs as well. So colour contrast is accessible for everyone, regardless of their visual abilities of, you know, how well we can see and hear and look at the screens. So we're doing contrast testing on the screen to make sure that all the colours make sense with what we're looking at. I've prepared a booklet. It will be readily available once it's all finalised, just so you can come on the journey of seeing visually what Steve has just shared about.
So even in this logo, we see the realities of who we are as an epicenter of hope, sharing the life we have in Christ and in God to all around us.